Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of The Todd Talks, your morning dose of whatever I want to talk about, delivered as is, without any edits. So it's Tuesday, July 3rd, the day before the 4th of July here in America, and excited. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going back to Boston, my home, celebrate a little bit, do fun, but that's not what I'm going to talk about today. No. Talking about fear of several things. So I've mentioned in previous episodes, I like to group things in three. Today I have six. Started off with three, and then some of them kind of like spiraled off. I think fear is a very big topic. Fear a lot of things. Now I'm not going to talk about things like fear of heights. I don't necessarily have that kind of stuff, or like, I don't know, fear of spiders. Like, I understand those are very, can be very real fears to certain people. The ones I'm focusing on have a lot more to do with interacting with other people. Maybe people-based fears or perceptions. Another way to do it. So, jumping right on in, I think the biggest one I always feel is fear of failure. I think a lot of us do that. And you know, it's okay to fail. I think definitely okay to fail as long as you learn something from it. You know, fail forward. Don't fail backwards. I fail all the time, right? No one's going to get it right 100% of the time. If they did, I mean, great for them, but I don't think that's realistic. I don't think that's human. And when you do fail, it's not, you can't beat yourself up over it. Like, yes, you should take time to process it, understand it, figure out what went wrong. But hopefully you can take that time to, you know, analyze, maybe work with others, determine what didn't go well, what went well, and how the next time when you're in that position or a similar position, you can make the right adjustments to continue and go to the next step. Right, like if I picked up a basketball right now, I shot and missed. I mean, that's very likely. That's a very likely outcome. But I wouldn't let that fear of it stop me from trying. Now, I know failure goes along with practice and patience and persistence. I've been actually jumbling a lot of that in my mind these last couple weeks. Because if you've noticed, I didn't record an episode these last couple weeks. It's got a lot going on that I wanted to focus on, therefore wasn't the right mindset, wasn't able to really wake up being like, all right, I'm excited to deliver an episode. But, so that there's a lot of fear there, right? Because I would even say that fear of failure, like, oh, I was failing my community, or I was failing myself, because I told myself I'd do it once or twice a week, though now looking back, the average is more just like once a week total, which is totally okay, right? Adjustment is not a big deal. I'm learning that, hey, maybe it is more difficult than I thought to like be able to wake up inspired and be like, here's a long discussion, hopefully productive discussion about these different topics. So yes, fear of failure, fail forward. I probably incorporate this a lot. And then this kind of directly ties in the next thing, fear of not being perfect, the idea of chasing perfect. No one's perfect. Even if you look at someone's life through one lens, let's pretend you look at someone's life through YouTube or Instagram or every morning when you grab coffee, you may be able to perceive in that moment life is really good or your ideal of perfection, but that's not reality. And it's very difficult to, you know, going back to, like, you know, doing a jump shot or three-pointer or layups, whatever, the basketball analogy, you're not going to get it right the first time. You may get it in, but maybe your form isn't 100% right. And that's okay. I mean, that's what practicing is all about. It's what, like, going forward again is all about. Again, when the first time you do something, obviously not going to be perfect. But that sometimes feels like that fear can be very limiting. Great example. I was asked by a really great friend to DJ his party. It was like his birthday, another friend's birthday. There was overall housewarming. I was very honored that he asked me to DJ. For those of you who don't know, I've been practicing, learning since the beginning of this year. I've been taking classes at the Scratch Academy down in New York, and here in New York, classes once or twice a week, depending on my schedule and how that all works out. And I haven't done a set live for anyone else. I did a couple for the class, did a couple for friends that came over, but, you know, a maximum like 10, 15 minutes. This time, I had to do something that was almost 2 hours long. And I was asked about this maybe almost a month ago. A little over a month ago. This party, by the way, just happened this past weekend. Went really well. But, you know, when I was first asked, I was like, in my head, I was just like, not good enough. I'm gonna fail, or I'm not gonna be perfect, and people are gonna hate it. Like all this negative, pessimistic energy, it wasn't in the right place. You know, I didn't even know why. Because I know a lot of times when I put my mind to something, I'm gonna do it, and that's ended up what happening. So Friday night, I was supposed to go out. And actually, I'm gonna jump because a lot of these fears kind of like blend in. At least for me, they blend in a lot together. So I was gonna go out Friday night. But at that point, I didn't like the days I was selecting to like practice and curate my sets, figure out how I was gonna perform for that hour and a half, 2 hours. Came to that night, I didn't have the time to practice earlier that week. There was a couple work deadlines that I had to get done, and that's made me stay late at work. Again, it's end of quarter, end of cycle, really, end of like 6 months, end of financial year, so it can be a very, very difficult time, especially with people going away this week. So a lot happened last week in terms of work, but that's life. So by that point, didn't have time to practice, really wanted to practice, because I didn't want to show up Saturday night and be like, I don't know what I'm doing, or like, have performance anxiety for DJing, or you know what I mean? This is like when you don't feel prepared, you're just like, you can mess up, or like you overanalyze. Anyway, this blends into another fear of saying no. And it's not for like things like, you know, I would say this is more for event-based, or even for asks. Now, it's not like I want to say no, but I think I'm just someone who, if I have the time, even if it's not the best use of my time, or even if it's not the priority in my life right now, I will drop whatever I'm doing to help. So if someone asks me a question, it doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'll stop it. And if I know if I can answer to help out, I will. Similarly, if someone says, hey, like, it would be great if you were able to come to this event, if I'm free that night, I'll go. And that's not like I don't want to go, but definitely now in my current state with all these different activities I'm trying to pursue, whether it be DJing, improving, this podcast, and building that out, the other podcast, the personship, work, working out, like all these other goals that I have for this year, it's hard to balance that. So even if I may have that time free, sometimes it may just be better to unfortunately decline. And I think this is like a weird fear of being like, I'll be judged or otherwise be looked down upon for declining. Again, I definitely think I get in my own head, because if the roles were reversed, I think that's just something that's a good mindset generally. So if the roles were reversed, how would you feel about that? So if I invited a bunch of people to, let's say, a party or a get together, naturally I understand that some people can't go. It's a very natural thing. Like, not everyone is free at the same time. And when someone says, oh, I can't go, it's not a big deal, right? But for some reason, I just assume or make that negative perception that, oh, that they would care. 99% of the time, they don't. And if they do care, they're not the right kind of person to be in my life. Or in that case, if you're experiencing something similar in your life. So anyway, if you're not being perfect. So Friday night, I had to decline that event. I actually worked a little bit late, too. I think I worked till like 9:30. Came home, and I was like, all right, well, don't have a lot of time. At that point, I had zero songs curated. Like, my friend, whose birthday it was and the party I was going to DJ at, gave me some ideas, and I was like, okay, let me just start going for it. And I started getting into it. I started downloading songs, started listening to them, see, like, where I should make some points, figure out, like, where I should transition, how I'm going to, like, go through the set, you know. I started thinking, like, okay, how am I going to structure this? It's kind of like a story arc, right? I'm probably start with something slow, more like hip-hop, some trap, and then kind of start building up, going through some more like, you know, top 40 pop up to like some EDM, some mainstream EDM. Never got to like main house, like deep house or anything like that. But, you know, the songs that people could know the lyrics to, but also could like, you know, groove a little bit too. And that would like, and the pace of that, or the beats per minute of that would increase over time. So I got into it. I got fully into it. Mainly because I didn't want to fail, right? And I wanted to be as good as possible. I pulled an all-nighter. I haven't pulled an all-nighter since college. Even when I pulled all-nighters in college, I definitely slept for like 2 hours here or there because I just didn't give a fuck. I cared less about how I did on homework because I was being graded on this thing that was abstract for me and not necessarily a person or interaction, or I wasn't necessarily feeling like I was being judged on a paper or judged on a test, because that was a very one-to-one relationship versus things that I'm, I guess, performing or otherwise delivering into a big group of people, like facilitating presentations. I think I just naturally was like, oh, I'm going to be good at them. I'm going to try to get good at this because that's important, or at least to me it was important. Anyway, pulled in an all-nighter. Still didn't think it was going to be great. Maybe I was like, I was still pulling through these like 5 minutes before I had to jump into a lift to get over there. Also was nervous because, or fearful because, I had an all-day summit. So going back to balancing a lot of things, I had this 7-hour parsnip ship end of season summit that I was doing. So I pulled an all-nighter, 7 hours parsnip ship summit. Then I had a performance with this DJ and I was like, what if I just fall asleep standing? Thankfully, it didn't. Again, all these fears, right? It's just like, what if X? What if Y? None of it happened. Everyone was very supportive. My friend loved it. People came up to me who I didn't know. Was like, this is great. Like, good job. Ended up being great. Okay. And then I finally was able to go to sleep. And it was one of the best sleeps of my life. So those all come in. And then I guess it goes kind of like, so fear of saying no, the fear of not being perfect, fear of failure. Those are really tying together. But you think about it, like, no one is Superman or Wonder Woman, but even those people, even those fictional people with superpowers, they need help, right? Think about, like, the Justice League, right? No one can do it alone. And sometimes it's be simply asking, like, hey, can you listen to this set, like, this 10 minutes, like, give me your honest feedback. It's another thing I don't like doing. Going back to like fear of asking for help. I love it when people ask me for help. Love it. I love knowledge sharing. Do it all day. Talk your ear off about that. But maybe it was the way I grew up. I just loved figuring things out on my own. I just wanted to figure it out on my own. Probably why I got into technology, because I was like, oh, like I can use this thing to like find answers. That's why I like Google, right? Use that, and then I can start building things. Like, I can build applications. Why I got into, like, coding for a minute. Why I majored in coding. So it's like, these complex problems that I could, like, tinker and solve with and manipulate code and technology and build cool things. Then I can help people because I can help people with writing code, but also because I knew technology. I was really good with IT. I can solve people's technical problems because they weren't as well-versed in it, so I felt good about that. But then, you know, whenever I needed help, I would just, like, I'm just going to double down on what I know, which is search. I'm going to search for the answer. Searching, obviously, is based off of my perception of what the problem is or my perception of what I need to find. That's not always great. It's always good to have someone else's opinion, someone else's perception to really save it. Because even sometimes when I was coding on a project or whatever, I would spend like 8 hours and I would get nowhere. Then go to like a friend or a TA or even a professor and be like, hey, it's like, this is like, what are my thought processes? It could have been like a simple, sometimes it was a simple, like 2 second being like, oh, did you think about it this way? Boom, that clicked in. But even though I've known I've had great success in the past of asking people for help, whether it be for school or some of my previous jobs, even my current job, or just like help in other things in general, like, hey, could you help me move? For example, hate doing it. A lot of it's rooted in bothering people. That's how, again, goes. That's that weird pessimistic attitude. Sometimes it lingers there. Although I rationally understand, like, it's not a big deal. Again, it goes back to what type of people do you want in your life? I want people in my life that would help each other out when someone asks. Just like, that's what I like to give in friendships and relationships. When someone asks me for something, if I know I can do it and I'll do it 100%, you know, I'll go 110%. Likewise, I surround myself with a lot of people that do the same. Even with that, sometimes I just in the back of my mind. But I think it's really important, again, going back to surrounding yourself with the right people, there are assholes out there, period, right? But you can't project that on people that you say you care about, people that you say you have a good relationship with. Because then, if it's true in reality, not just in your head or in these fears that you manifest, then you're not right hanging with the right people, right? You need to surround yourself with people that uplift each other and support each other, because it does affect you, right? If I'm spending a bunch of my time with certain groups of people or types of people, that will influence me. I also like to say that I'm a reflection of the energy in the room. So if everyone else is around me is pumped up and energetic, I am there for a little bit more like that. I will provide that. I don't necessarily create space. I'll enhance space. Obviously, that's not true. People try to be pessimistic a little bit. Sometimes I'll try to quiet down a little bit or try to segue. Not always. I mean, but you know, that's just how I generally view myself. Kind of like that energy reflection. And I don't necessarily absorb it and it affects me too much. It's more just like, all right, people right now want to, you know, run around. Let's run around. Cool. Sounds great. Let's do it. So yeah, that's definitely a big one. Definitely getting over that, because you know, no one can do it alone. I think I've already said that a few times. And everyone who's been successful in life, at least a lot of people that I know and I've looked into, have done it with other people. And surrounding, so it goes back to strengths and weaknesses. You have a lot of strengths, other people have a lot of strengths, some of them overlap, sometimes you don't have weaknesses, you need to fill those gaps, and it's not a big deal. Like, it's no one has every single strength, that'd be impossible. I mean, if you do, great for you, but, you know, I don't. So it's just learning around those things. And then the fear of asking for help, I mean, this kind of ties a little bit about the idea of just, like, bothering, and the general idea of, like, I would say approach anxiety. So let's go at a party, and let's pretend it's a big party. And I don't know anyone. I can't work that crowd. I'm just like, oh, I don't want to bother someone. They're not having. Maybe I don't want to infringe on their good time. Or if there's a group of people, I don't want to infringe on their good time. But otherwise, it's like the opposite though. It doesn't bother me. Let's pretend I'm in a group of like friends or people I just met. We're chatting, whatever. Someone wants to join the circle. Great. Like, it's totally cool. I guess that kind of varies. Like, the issue with that. So even, let's pretend, oh, I got another good one. So let's pretend I need, this actually, well, I've changed this a lot recently, but let's pretend I'm out and about and I'm looking for something. Like, let's pretend I'm looking for a store. Let's just say I don't have my phone. I don't want to pull up my phone. It's just like, I can quickly ask, like, hey, is there a bodega around? All right, let's just try to grab something real quick. I don't want to pull out my phone. Cause it's like, why do people always need to pull out the phone? Goes back to like, I need to do it myself, right? Sometimes it's good to ask for people. It's like, hey, do you know any good restaurants around here? Something so simple. So simple. Instead, I'm like, no, I'm going to have to pull up my phone and, like, search it. Like, the searching, it can only help you so much. But, like, yes, you're right. That person I may ask may not know. That person may be like, I'm not from around here. Perfect answer, reasonable answer. But I don't know why. Things like, even small things like that, don't like doing. I would never be good at cold calling. I remember I had a job once where I like go door to door canvassing, asking for like signatures and money. It was like, I think I did it for one day because I hated doing it so much. Even though I had a reason to be there, I was just like, oh, you know, I'm knocking on this person's door, I'm gonna bother them, don't want to have that interaction. But at the same time, it's like people expect that, right? Either they will be willing to hear you out or they won't, and you just have to respect that. It's not an insult to you, it's just the reality of the situation at that moment. However, it's interesting because that's the initial, like, the approach. But once that's over, oh my God, in it, right? Once I'm friends with you, I can talk, whatever, all day. But I don't know, it's very interesting. I think there's definitely more to explore here, generally speaking. But yeah, those are, I'm going to leave it at that. Those are my six fear thing. So to recap in summary, fear of failure, but when that happens, fail forward, not backwards. Fear of being perfect, no one is perfect, just practice it, be persistent. I'm actually going to talk more about that in a later episode. Fear of asking for help, again, no one can do it alone. Even Again, Superman, Wonder Woman, they need to ask for help. So, go for it. Fear of rejection. You know what? That's just a natural part of life. Sometimes you'll get something, sometimes you won't. But you won't know unless you ask. If you said, like, oh, I've always wanted to work here, go apply. What's there to lose? You don't get the job? So what? If you never ask, then you'll never get it. Then, fear of saying no. Again, if you're busy, it makes sense. Or you can say, not right now, maybe later. Let's pretend you are really busy and you're like, oh, I can't like help the second. Hey, you just simply ask the question, hey, could I help you out in an hour? If it's not like a dire situation where that person's gonna die the next hour, probably say yeah, it's not a big deal. And then this is a general fear of approach. Again, if you're going in with a positive, good attitude, well intentioned, just go for it. You know, if you pretend you're running somewhere and, you know, you need to grab a quick bite to say, see someone, you know, assuming they don't have headphones on, they're like, they look like you always approach someone in the front, for example, don't approach someone in the back, that's kind of creepy. But, you know, if you're just like, hey, like, do you know if there's a bodega around? Or like, hey, like, do you know if there's a CVS around? Maybe they won't, maybe they don't. If they do, great. If they don't, you can ask the next person or that point. Like, okay, let me just check my phone. You know, I think we need to think more about being in a community instead of being isolation. I think that's where a lot of these things, at least for me, like, okay, the idea of me versus everyone else. Why does it have to be that? Why can't it be me and everyone else? And let's do it. And let's leave it at that. Hope you have a great day, and I'll talk to you. Bye.